Holy beach, Toby.
Yep, I've experienced beach.
That's true. You have experienced beach. Yeah, hello and welcome to Unfixed. I'm saying holy crap because guess what? We've got Bonnie Boo. We've been trying to get her for how long now?
Well, ever since we saw her on stage for the first time.
Months and months and months. We've been trying to get Bonnie Boo to come on the show since August.
Her statuesque, handsome self is finally here.
Yeah, she is here. She's in the green room. She's enjoying pizza, and I'm looking forward to having her on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we're like super mellow, tranquil, prepared.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You know, here's something. Here's something it might have to do with Toby. Let's at the top of the show here. Let's talk to the elephant in the room. You got a job.
Yeah,
somewhere
I'm going
else.
Overseas.
So you're moving to the UK.
Yeah, I'm moving to the UK. So unfortunately, this is going to be my second last show.
Penultimate Unfixed featuring Toby Hallam. Now, we used to do the show with Sam Wilson. We're going to be doing a full calendar year, interestingly. It'll be a whole year by the time we're done, which I think is nuts.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. We've certainly learned, I've learned a lot.
I've learned to love it. So, it'll be in March, it'll be a full year. You're moving away to the UK, and so I think we're going to still attempt to bring you in via satellite, to bring you in via the Skypes and stuff, for the history segment, maybe Shower Talk. You can co-host Shower Talk in your spare time, something like this. We're working on it. But sure, that just brings us to the point that Unfixed is hiring. We have an opening coming up here for April. We have a co-host, a spot available.
If you can come up to my high level of mediocrity, then fucking give Adam a message.
if you can riff on things, banter, if you can have a nice red wine glass. Actually, you have to be able to drink wine. You have to be over 6 feet tall. And you have to be Australian and have a beard. Toby, please don't leave. I'm really sad.
I'm definitely going to come for guest visits and give
on
you
Thursdays
all the,
every month.
Yeah, somehow, maybe. I mean, it's only just a hop over the Irish Sea.
If you could make your work schedule out and that you didn't have to be in work or whatever until like Friday late, then sure, you know, we could work out a system in which you actually came over to do the show.
Yeah.
This is my dream. Okay, we'll talk about this off the air. This has gotten a bit. I'm getting a bit weird,
a bit touchy feeling.
I'm getting funny. I'm getting odd. Hopefully, we'll be funny, and we're going to give you a hell of a show. Toby, as is your wont, can you tell the listeners what they can look forward to on the show tonight?
Yeah.
Other than Bonnie Boo, most coveted guest possible. We've been trying to get her again 6 months in the making. We've been trying to get Bonnie Boo on the show. Bonnie Boo is fucking here.
She's,
and I'm wild about it.
Look, you are frothing at the mouth. All the tranquility is gone. But on the topic of funny people, we have 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien.
Yeah, sure. So Andrea will be calling in and doing her 90 seconds. 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien, of course, when 90 seconds of Andrea is just dumped upon us. She calls in, we give her a topic, and she just goes. 90 seconds of just nonstop Andrea verbal diarrhea.
And then it's like, bam.
Yes,
done.
Then we cut it off abruptly.
Then we've got Southeast Island update.
Uh-huh.
You should see the size of the font on this update.
I have brought you can already see that. Okay. I'm getting all excited a little bit ahead of time here, yeah.
We're going to have the always terrifying scary news.
Ooh, the scary news, everybody. Scary news, and it's fucking head scary. This one's a bit.
Oh shit.
It's titillating.
I'm going to have to put my Halloween hat on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We have the segment that we're just going to drive until it does something. New slang.
She's still trying to give that thing a lease on life. It was in deep freeze for a while. We brought it back. It went a low medium. And
yep,
we're going to try to breathe some more life into it. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe a medium.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
Then we have my contribution of Dark History, which is going to be full of explosions and things.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, more or less.
Things exploded in the past?
What?
Yeah. I thought they invented explosions like, what was it? When did Terminator 1 come out?
I think 1990.
Oh, no, wait. There was explosions in Platoon.
And well
and the Longest Day.
All the details will be coming to you. At that point.
Right, cool. All right.
We
That's
also
Toby's Dark History Corner for those of you.
My History Corner.
Yeah.
And speaking of, well, no, it's in the history now. We went for a walk, a really cool walk.
We did. We followed up with our last guest, Sean Cahill. He is Mr. Leather Island 2016. That's available in of course, the RSS feed for the podcast version of the show, which you can find anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, whatever Android app you're using. You just search for Unfixed. You can listen to the old shows. We had Cahill on. He's Mr. Leather Island. And there was a new Mr. Leather Island about to be crowned, sashed, I guess.
And a bunch of other international Mr. Leathers.
So much leather, everything. And we went to, it's geared, everything. There's rubber, there's leather, there's sports equipment, there's military crap. Anyway, we went to this one event called the Warm Up. It's for straights like us. It's for anybody who wants to come. Married men, for people who aren't in the fetish scene. There's no dress code. So we were able to just show up in our street clothes and be like two people wearing street clothes surrounded by like, 250 gay men in leather and bondage gear and stuff.
It was very loving.
So we've got that. That's going for a walk and that's coming up shortly.
When we're talking about things inside things, I have to talk about shower talk.
It is the most fun you can have in a hot box without risking an STI. It is shower talk. It is the show within a show. It is released on its own. You can follow shower talk at shower_talk on Twitter. You can subscribe to shower talk on SoundCloud. Search for shower talk. And some people only listen to shower talk. And in fact, we actually recommend that to not listen to this show Unfixed.
Yeah, maybe
just listen to shower talk.
Maybe listen to shower talk in the morning just before you shower. Just get some inspiration, and then you can listen to the rest of the show in the evening.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather drink a glass of whiskey or eat an entire field of grain and like also a big block of condensed yeast in order to get the same effect? So what do you want?
Set yourself on fire.
So go with the condensed version. Go with shower talk. Stick to that.
And finally, I guess it's added to the fact that we have Bonnie Boo. We also asked her to tell us about dead pets.
Yeah, we're gonna visit the pet cemetery with Bonnie Boo later on, as we do with guests. I just want to make it clear. I keep yelling about Bonnie Boo because we've been obsessed with Bonnie Boo since we saw her in Miss Burlesque Ireland's thing last August. And so I just believe everybody knows exactly who Bonnie Boo is. Bonnie Boo is Miss Burlesque Ireland's showgirl of the year. She is a burlesque superstar. She's a dynamo. She is a dancer. She's an all-around performer. She runs her own dance night studio down in Waterford. We're going to talk about all that stuff. So, okay. Toby Dealer's choice here.
Right.
What do you want?
I always like to
hear...
Oh,
did we mention that I have a voicemail from my publisher?
Oh, crap.
So, I'm trying to publish a book, another one, and this guy, he's a really a bizarre guy, and I save his voicemails when he calls and leaves me voicemails, and I play them on the air.
A voicemail from somewhere very special this time, I think.
I don't know. Last time I heard from him, he was buried in an avalanche and was calling me from said avalanche.
Yeah, yeah. So the mountainside or?
I don't know. I
frozen.
I'm not sure. I'm not even sure it's from him. I know I have a voicemail from his number. And we're going to play it on the air for you guys.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I like to start this like I like to start my mornings, or so I tell everybody, with the news. I want to hear what's going on down a little bit.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I know what you're getting at. What is going on here? So, ladies and gentlemen, in my hands I have the latest issue of the Wicklow People. And you know why?
Because you can?
Yeah, well, I can. So I do. I go down to Southeast Ireland and I get the local news and I bring it up here and I share it with the listeners on the show. It is something we like to call the Southeast Ireland Update. It's got a theme song. It's a segment. We've been doing it for a while now. And I bring you the latest and most important bits you need to know about Southeast Ireland and what's going down.
We've moved up. We're a different publication this time.
Yeah, so normally it's the Wicklow Times. Today we have the Wicklow People. And I bought this one. Normally I just get the Wicklow Times for free.
Professional journalism.
At its best. Okay, so today I bring you a tale of something bizarre happening down in Southeast Ireland.
Do go on.
Okay, Toby, you drive.
Yeah.
Not a lot in Ireland.
not so much.
But sure, I'm sure that there's everywhere in the world, it's pretty universal parking tickets, right?
Yeah, particularly if it's the city.
Sure, yeah, you get parking tickets and you don't pay to park properly, you park in a restricted area, you park incorrectly, something like this.
They fucking SMS you now, I think.
Ooh, that you've been busted, chap.
Yeah, we can't even be bothered filling out a form. Eat shit.
I love it. So, okay, so what happens when you get ticketed, right? You go and you lament, you call, you pay the fine, and then you drive off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not so... here in the latest issue of the Wicklow People.
Those crazy Wicklowians.
And someone took a slightly different approach to getting too many parking tickets, apparently, by his standards. The headline in a very, very large font. We're talking, this is like maybe 72 point. It's
That's
huge.
That's the maximum.
Okay. The headline is, folks, bizarre attack on town parking meters. The parking meters themselves were the victim of an attack, Toby. Let me just tell you what happened, because the Gardaí are following a definite line of inquiry. The case is deepening into an attack on 13 parking machines, an unlucky number of 13. used engine oil, Toby, was dumped all over the machines.
Monsters.
And along their base on Tuesday night, January 24th. Trying to keep you current down there. Move travels slowly. Oil was also poured through the security shutters of the parking office on the South Quay. Oil was found on the footpath as well. All 13 machines had closed until they were clean. They prevented a slip hazard. Machine in Church Street, Abbey Street, car parks were also targeted, as well as ones located on Wentworth Place and New Street. That is the news you need to know. Just wanted to say one last thing about this. The Gardaí are investigating, so, you know, the guy who did it is listening, probably.
Yeah.
He's sweating bullets.
Well, I have a theory, Adam. I have a theory about what's going on here. This is a rogue robot who thought that the parking meters were hungry.
Right. You guys look famished. Right, it's true. That's actually better, because I don't know that this is somebody who's angry at the parking authority. Maybe they just decided to attack every parking meter with used motor oil and in the headquarters because they just hate parking stuff.
Or just questioning the quality of the attack.
It might be like social commentary. This is some Black Mirror shit going on. It is suspected the attack could have been an attempt to interfere with the machine's interiors and solar panel.
Solar panel.
That's the insight here. The
fucking technology going
Ladies
on.
Ladies and
in
gentlemen,
Wicklow.
That is what you need to know about what's happening in Southeast Ireland. And that is brought to you via Unfixed as a public service. We do it once a month. Now you're caught up to date. You know what's going on down there.
Yep. If you go to the pub down there, Jack White's maybe.
You go to the pub?
Yeah.
You go to the publisher. You go to the publisher.
Nice segue.
I'm going to play my publisher's wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher's voicemail here. And we're going to check it out together because I have not heard this guy and I'm looking forward to that. So here is the publisher here on Unfixed. This is my nervous in the service publisher. And here he is on Unfixed. My publisher, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see how he's getting on, having been buried in an avalanche 2 months ago, just before Christmas.
Adam, this is your publisher calling. How you doing there? Adam? Well, Adam, I guess it's the voicemail again. The last time I talked to you, I was trapped in an avalanche. Yeah, my battery was dying because, you know, I was leaving you a very long voicemail. Yeah. And because of that, I died, Adam. I died the death there. Yeah. Adam, do you ever die sometimes there? Because, you know, perhaps my experience can help. You know, so I'll tell you about that. Okay, Adam, when you die, you're going to see a light, okay? A bright light. And you're going to go down about, a half a mile or so there towards the light there. And you're going to see a rookery there on your left across from the Tesco. Keep going a little ways, and then you're going to bear right at the trestle on Lincoln there. But don't talk to Lincoln when he beckons you. That's a trap, okay? Instead, go to the phone booth, which in my case was ringing. I answered, and I could hear the doctors, Adam, working on me like that there in the emergency room. I said, hello, help. It's me over here. Help. Yeah, but then it went to voicemail there. So I had the operator call back. We're losing him, I heard them saying. And I can hear counting and chest compressions there. So I started to talk again. And it went to voicemail again. So I tried to leave a message. And then I heard a doctor say, this is one of the most horrifying things I think I've ever heard. The doctor said, this publisher is dead. Mark time. And it went to voicemail. Well, the last thing I heard was one of them laughing and saying how he had read your first book, Adam. And his review basically was, who is this guy? So next I had the idea to call collect. And when I did that, I woke up in the crematorium, Adam, with the fires the fires of doom licking at my face there, like that. And I thought, wow, what's this? I said, and well, it was fires, Adam. So I says, I got to get out of here. I kicked the door open, and soon I'm walking down the street, naked and burnt like that. And this tall, weird guy sees me, and he says to me, "Hey, are you one of those naked publishers?" And I says, "Yeah." I says, "I guess I am. How do you know that?" And he says, "His name is Dorf Goff, and that he has a nose for books. And, maybe he could work for me there." So, well, before I knew it, Adam, this fellow was my new apprentice. I didn't think I needed one, but I thought with the accident and everything. So anyway, Adam, he's tasked with reading, and he's tasked with pressing certain buttons there in my office. So about these latest chapters, Adam, you have a chapter here called The Perfect Pet, where you say this. You say, some people enjoy cats while others had dogs. Me, when I was a kid, I has a Ziploc full of bugs in a coat pocket. Now, that's aside from this puzzling sentence structure there, Adam, and the words there, I was startled to find a computer chip there glued to the page with sound effects in them there, and it's bugs. You press it and it's bugs. I thought, it's interesting, I guess, but I'm potentially lazy there, and I did not show that one to the promo editor. I just kept that one away from him. Did you do that, Adam? Adam. Okay, that's all for now. I gotta go. I'll keep you posted on Dorf Goff and our new secretary, Reginald Beeswax. All right, Adam, you have a good one there. Okay, good night.
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
Okay, my publisher, he died.
Yeah, I guess. I want another sub-show from Dorf Goff.
Dorf Goff is apparently his new apprentice. We can, he's going to keep us up to date on that. So
publisher's apprentice.
Yeah, it's a dream of so many young man flights of fancy in the spring start to think about being the apprentice to a publisher.
Spread their wings.
Maybe even my publisher, if you're lucky, and her name's Dorf Goff. So, right, you said something about you wanted me to play a song for you.
Yeah. I've got a song-relevant little bit of history to talk about.
Song-relevant history. Oh, hello. Hey.
Yeah.
Hall of Famers, the Eagles. I think they're Hall of Famers. If they're not, the system is
something's
broken.
Something's wrong, yeah.
So, what is this? Why is this relevant? Why is this song relevant?
Well, I got really excited about all of these sort of scientists with ludicrously exciting lives or crazy lives, across this headline. This was in the LA Tribune, June 17th, 1952. Slain scientist priest in black magic cult. It sounds like one of these Waterford news stories, but this is the story of Marvel Whiteside, Parsons.
Wicklow.
Oh, sorry.
Bonnie Boo's from Waterford, though.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Okay, say that again. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, Marvel Whitesides Parsons, but he went out as Jack Parsons.
Okay.
And he sort of was a...
It's like a pub.
Yeah, maybe even.
See you at Jack Parsons.
But he was born in the early 20th century, like 1914. He was a kid. He loved playing with explosives. But yeah, he had a little bit of extra insight into explosives. And he started using, like, getting cherry bombs and fireworks and sort of pouring glue into them. And he was one of the actual founders of rocketry in America.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So he went from playing with explosives to...
I've heard of this guy.
You might have.
I might have.
Was buddies during the after the First or Second World War with Werner Braun.
Dude's still alive, isn't he?
Is
he older?
No, he died in the 1950s. This is
okay. Maybe I think of somebody else. All right, sorry.
But he sort of he worked at Caltech. He never actually had an education above high school, but right. he was involved in the beginning of the Aerojet Company, and these were the guys that made the. Made the Minuteman missiles, the Titan rockets for Voyager and Viking probes,
right.
And the Polaris missiles for the military that they fire out of submarines. And he was also one of the founders of JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Oh, wow. I thought that was like a stock, a hedge fund.
It may be a JPL that's a hedge fund as well, he was also, because it was a bit sort of bullied and a little bit sort of skinny kid when he was at school, he also got really into black magic. Ooh, in the end of high school, and he got into this thing called Thelema, which is the sort of school of magic
the
that Aleister Crowley talks
about.
I've
heard of this.
So the original sort of like a Satanist, the Beast 666, Aleister Crowley called himself. And so while he's getting into rocketry and becoming one of these founding fathers of rocketry, he was also a leading figure in the world of the occult. By day, he built rockets for the government. By night, he emerged from a coffin to perform sex magic with his followers. And so he made all this money making rockets.
Thought science was for boring nerds.
Absolutely, this is bringing it all together. And he used to answer the door to his temple. Like, he spent all of his money that he made.
I'm obsessed with this guy
to
immediately.
Buy this fantastic mansion in Pasadena. Yeah. That he called the Parsonage. And at the same time, he was voted the West Coast's leader of this sect which practices Thelema, called the Order Templar Orientis.
All right.
So he was a leader of this, and it was cool, this place. People would hang out. Manhattan Project scientists would be there.
Oppenheimer's
artists
the
like Ray Bradbury, Robert Heinlein, all these people would hang out at the Parsonage.
Thank you for giving our show an intellectual edge.
One other guy who came and hung out at the Parsonage was another science fiction writer, was L. Ron Hubbard.
Wow.
The head of Scientology.
There goes the prestige.
but they were like, crap, this guy, he talks so well, he can convince people amazingly. So he's the most gifted magician I've ever come across, says Parsons about L. Ron Hubbard. And for the next couple of years, they're busy sort of casting these spells, doing stuff together. And it's all sort of sex magic. So they're like jerking off in a room together over prostitutes.
L. Ron Hubbard, a cherry bomb and a mutual J.O. experience.
Yeah. And then L. Ron makes off with Jack Parsons' girlfriend/wife and rips him off for $20,000.
Okay, scandal.
And then again, comes back, convinces him that it's all cool, and rips him off for another $10,000.
That's amazing.
So Jack Parsons ends up sort of bankrupt. He has to sell the Parsonage, and because it's after the Second World War, there's all this communist sort of scare, and so he's not able to get a job as a scientist anymore. So he ends up at the 35, unable to get any work except making the squibs that do explode that show
okay, the blood
packs
in
Western movies.
Okay, spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here's the news clipper. On June 17th, 1952, a huge explosion ripped through his home laboratory. Arriving police found Parsons still alive, although half his face had been ripped off, Jesus. Exposing the skull beneath. Yeah. His right arm was missing. Surrounding him were rocketry papers and pentagrams, occult drawings, and chemical formula.
Jeez.
He died shortly afterwards. He was 37 years old.
Wow. He's like the Phineas Gage of the physics world, I guess, of the occult just this like autoerotic explosive world.
It's fucking rock and roll, and
it's punk. And,
so you might ask now, why am I playing this song?
Yeah, thank you.
So some of the members of the Eagles have denied that this is it, but the ongoing rumor is that Hotel California is referring to the Parsonage,
and they've denied it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the plot thickens with Hotel California, because I always just thought it was a hotel with mystic crap. You can't leave, and for some reason they have pink champagne, which annoyed the shit out of me from the first time I've ever heard the song.
But just imagine, maybe it's talking about a Satanist house.
It certainly adds a bit of a lure to the old hotel, don't it? So yeah, yeah. Next time I listen to this, I'm just going to picture L. Ron Hubbard working a semi-flaccid, you know, semi-functioning, you know, sex organ. Whap, whap, whap.
Yeah, and like red pubic hair, don't forget.
So, all right, man. You know what? You're driving the ship tonight. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, I've been allowed to sort of hold on to this this steering wheel.
You're chained to it, and we're all below deck in the middle of a goddamn hurricane. So yeah, we got all kinds of stuff. We could go for a walk. We could talk to Andrea. We could go into that hot soapy box that we like. You know, these are some of your options. I think I'm missing one or two.
Yeah,
we could talk about new slang terms.
Yeah, let's go through some new slang and talk about words that maybe shouldn't have gone into the dictionary.
Right. Okay. So new slang. Oh, hold on. Oh, E40. I hope you don't go back to slang in the AO either. It's a dirty game. So, okay. All right. So, yeah, this is a service that we bring for you to hear the listener on Unfixed, because maybe you'll go to a cocktail party. Maybe you'll be hanging out at a bar. And some people are going to use some terms, and you don't know what it means, and you're going to look like a total goddamn doofus.
And these fucking words, they get into the dictionary as well. And you know what a lot of them are about? They're about being shorter, faster. Do we not have time to speak?
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Unfixed, where we take our time. Now, yeah. Here on Slang and Yayo, the spinoff podcast about new slang.
The tranquil.
Yeah,
terms.
Okay. So, Toby, I'm just going to shoot one off for you. All right. So, this is a term that means, it kind of means like fucking, or like, not like the sex act, but kind of like that goddamn. Like, so, you know, these like prefix words, that goddamn sink always gets clogged.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking sink's clogged.
Yeah.
All right. And it's dicking. And I want to bring it back, and I want to get it out there. So my dicking housemate, you know, forgot to turn off his alarm. That's not too specific.
My dicking boss fired me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. My dicking garbage man woke me up at 5 a.m. And I actually came across this on one of those memes. Do you remember the four panel comic in the early 2000s that had it ended with rage comics? Yeah, it was about Capri Zana, a Capri Sun, and it said, like, you know, just think, one, I'm about to enjoy this Capri Sun. Stick panel two, that dicking little straw. And it really just came into my heart, and I've held on to it, and I love it. And I want everyone to start saying
it's
it.
It's got
so,
a bit,
man,
of anger in it. It's you can really lean into that word.
The kids do saying it. I'm like, my dicking shoes are too tight.
And it's not too rude.
It's great. You can say it in church.
I'm going to say I like that one.
All right, cool. So, yeah. If you hear people say dicking, it just means like that damn thing.
Right, right.
What do you got?
I've got the word adorbs.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's like, I can't say adorable.
No, you get tired halfway through and you need a break.
Yeah, yeah, I can't type it out on my phone with the text talk, so
give me
adorbs.
What is something that's adorbs? Not, of course, short for adorable. What is something that's adorbs, Toby? Give me something, an example of something that would be adorbs.
La babies, a tupa, adorbs.
Yeah, we were in, my wife and I were in South Africa, and we were standing on the very southernmost peak of the goddamned world, effectively. We're at the very, 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 very bottom. And this girl goes, oh my God, it's so gorge. And I had to go sit down because I had a hangover. Spinny. So sure. All right, I've got another one for you. Now this is new slang that you might hear out there. Now this is a phrase that you might hear, and it kind of like it's to talk about like exasperation, or also like, you know, well, blow me down or something, or shiver me timbers, that kind of phrase, right?
Right, that's already slang.
Yeah, that's old slang. So right. I'm bringing new slang. So what this is it's blow a sex hole in my drywall. So it's like, oh my God, you guys know each other? Blow a sex hole in my drywall. What a small world, right? So it's just about blowing a sex hole right in the side of your, you know, in your bedroom. And yeah,
you're that shocked.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, my car won't start. You know, this just blows a sex hole right in my drywall.
You've heard that? I'm liking these ones. That's a good one. Detached from reality.
Bringing the new slang. Who's reality, buddy? Your subjective, objective reality.
My tiny.
Go back to Normie Town. What else you got? We got one more. We're getting the hell out of here before this thing starts to stink like rotten.
Making carpet. A tradition out of this. I'm going to bring in some old slang now.
Nice.
Which I read in a book the other day, and I thought it was kind of cool. Cookie duster.
Ooh, what's that? It's yeah. I'm interested.
This is a long mustache that goes down over your lip.
So therefore, yeah.
So when you're eating a cookie, you'll just dust the top
like
off of it.
It acts like a small handheld like brush. You know the dust pens.
Yeah. A French guy I was talking to said that the French term would be soup catcher.
This has been New Slang. Thank you, and you're welcome for learning the new slang, that all the slang that's fit to know. To get. Oh man. Okay. Yeah. New slang. Oh, turn on that hot water.
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Take off your clothes. Step in the hot box. Shower talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to another episode of Shower Talk, the show where we talk about showering. And it is a spin-off podcast from Unfixed, released independently. It's its own standalone show. It was once a tumor. It became sentient. It was cut off. It grew legs. It is now running its own thing. It has its own Twitter feed. Follow it on Twitter. It has like 6 followers. So, yeah. All right.
It could be the 7th.
Today, we are talking about variety. It is the spice of life. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right.
So this is the idea here is that it's whenever you have, okay, for example, two different kinds of shampoo on the go at once. So I've got a fruity one going, okay? And I've also got like, I don't know, like an almond butter one going. So like one day, I don't know, it's a Wednesday. I had a rough night the previous night, and I'm not looking forward to going to work. How am I going to make it up to myself? I am going to just go right ahead, blast myself with some exotic different kind of shampoo, shower gels, etc. You know.
So there's the humdrum option, and then there's the pampering option.
It's about keeping it fresh.
We were just talking about this before, and I sort of had in my mind that something called Imperial Leather might be actually sounded pretty fucking crazy.
Oh, right.
Good.
You thought this was high end.
Yeah, and instead of this, it's
you thought you were
red,
like Tom from Parks and Recreation with this shit.
Yeah,
and then you realized you were Jerry from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I was at Mr. Price, and they're like, "This is the shittest one here."
They're like, "Is this still in date?" So right, variety, the spice of life, how to change showers up so it's not the same goddamn shower all the time. You gotta throw some kinks in there, throw some wacky stuff. There'll be anything you've ever done to kind of spice up your showers, change the duration, temperature, routine. You know, you're Toby Crotch First Talon, because when you wash yourself, you go straight for the crotch.
Yeah.
And you start, and then it goes out like a spider web.
Yeah.
I am top down Adam Jensen, and that means I start with the hair, the dirty water goes down, and I'm like cleaning a wall. You go from the top to the bottom. It just makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes I increase the temperature slowly over the whole shower.
Oh, right. Okay. So wait. So I mean, where would you kind of start off in terms of what kind of
like regular, but you work your way up to the point where if you just stepped into that would be scalding.
Okay. Right. So you actually get yourself like acclimated.
Yeah.
And then
at
a certain point, you kind of like it, you know, it's like it's melting the glass.
Powers beyond regular human.
Right. And you, so you're like teaching yourself slowly to become a superhuman.
Yeah.
Is that basically
except
what's happening?
Only in the shower.
That is something. That is nothing short of a superhuman type feat, and I'm really excited to be a part of this. So yeah, Toby, hey, I want to have a disclosure. You know how we agreed that we don't want no scrubs?
Yeah.
Well, I bought one.
Oh, right.
I've been having some dermatitis, some eczema on my elbows. I'm showing Toby my elbow right now. Under my shirt. I'm not going to take my sweater off to show you this.
Ooh, wow.
But yeah, it's been a bit. You know, dead skin cells are building up, and I got to get that shit off. I got to be supple. I got to be young. I got to be youthful. I got to be fresh. So I want scrubs. I want a scrub. I'm using a scrub. And you know what? I'll check in with you next time we talk. And yeah, we'll make sure that it's going all right.
Are you suggesting maybe I should try some scrubs?
No. Fuck away from it. We don't want no scrubs, but I had to use one here. So hey, we are going to bring in our guest here. Hopefully, we got Mika all the way from Cork. I think Mika, can you hear us? Mika.
Yes, I can hear you.
You are on the air here on Shower Talk, the spinoff podcast from Unfixed, the hit series Shower Talk, where we talk about showering and we talk about when we were thinking about showering earlier in the day.
And high energy combinations of shower elements.
Yeah. So, Mika, today the topic...
That is amazing.
It is, right? Thank you and welcome. Thank you so much for being part of Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah. I forget what Scandinavian...
It's so cool to be here.
I know, right? Your whole life has effectively been leading up to this very moment. Now, are you Finnish? Are you from Finland?
I am what one would call...
Is it Norway?
Swedish.
Oh, you're Swedish. That's right. I knew it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Swedish, Toby, no, I couldn't remember. I knew it was one of the tall, skinny ones in the cold, dark place, which is the opposite of a shower, which is the hot, warm place. And it's bright. Unless you take a candle shower. Have you ever done that? Have either of you ever done that? Turn off the lights, lit a candle, and taken a candlelight shower. That's you want to talk about variety.
Well, that is actually one of the most coziest things you can ever do.
Have you ever tried that, Mika?
I did actually, multiple times.
Right, awesome.
It is.
Candle showers.
But it might be a little bit too romantic.
Right.
Alone, but
you start getting a little bit too sensual, amazing. Yeah, and it turns autoerotic. That's like the theme of tonight's show. Everything just goes a bit autoerotic. So yeah, you're just trying to take a shower, and meanwhile you got someone pregnant that like you know who's living in the sewer. I don't know. Sorry about that.
The Ninja Turtle.
Turtle Clink baby. So okay, so you know you had mentioned when we talked earlier today that sometimes you have two shampoos on the go at the same time. Is that right, Mika?
Oh, that is very true.
That's true right now, in fact.
It is, actually.
Okay, do you remember what kind of smells you got?
Well, one is more of... you have to understand that I have conditioner as well.
Oh,
so it's not only two shampoos. I do have to have conditioner because I have fairly long hair.
And now. You're a gentleman. You're a stately man. You're an elegant man.
Very.
So what, you've got one shampoo and one conditioner, or two types of shampoo? What's the deal?
I have two shampoos, just in case, and one conditioner.
Have you ever done anything to kind of change things up? Have you ever showered in your clothing, or stood the opposite direction, like normally you face the screen? So instead of that, you face away from it? You know, throw somebody else in the shower with you. And you know, if you're getting bored of sex, it's like throwing a wig on your wife or something like this. And you've got a whole other experience. Oh, man. Okay, really, we got to stay on topic. All right, okay.
We do.
So, okay. Mika, thank you so much for being a part of the Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed.
And we bend your people on the phone.
Me. All right, dude, you take care of yourself. Bye-bye. All right, Mika, you know, he had some good insight.
Well, that went well.
I was cracking up for some reason.
I like the facing away from the shower. Like, whoa!
Yeah, that's when I started losing it. All right, okay. So that was Shower Talk. We're actually all right. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Shower Talk, the podcast about showering, part of Unfixed Radio. Okay. All right. We gotta settle down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Shower Talk got me a little wild. So, okay. All right. So we are going to bring Bonnie Boo in right now. And we're going to check out what she's up to in the burlesque world. And I am looking forward to this once again. 6 months, like T-minus X amount of hours and minutes and everything like this. So, finally happening. It's all actually happening, man. Bonnie Boo, coming up on Unfixed.
From the land of the lost, behold the pale horse, or poor. Follow me, Wu-Tang gotta be, the best things in Starks and Clark Wallabies. African killer bees, black watch, on your radio, blowing out your watch. From Park Hill, the house on Haunted Hill, every time you walk by, your back get a chill. Let's build, we want to talk about skill. I spit like a semi-automatic to the grill. Elbow grease and elbow boom, baby play me, baby fall down, go boom. Party people gather round, countdown to apocalypse. I'm the kid with the golden arms. And I'm the motherfucking hot nicks. Pass the blunt.
My nigga, don't front. You had it for a minute, but it seemed like a month. Now I'm choking, smoking, hoping I don't croak in from overdosing. Dosing. Hey kid, when the mouth got you open, let's ride. Can't stand niggas that floss too much. Can't stand Bentleys, they cost too much. Can't wanna get up, then can't get touched. Can't wanna stick up, then can't get stuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, 6 months ago we went to Miss Burlesque Ireland to see the burlesque show. Kobe, you remember this?
Yeah, yeah. And yet now she's rocking out right in front of us.
Oh my god, it's a front row show to the solo performance to Gravel Pit.
Oh yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the longest unfixed interview in the making of all time. We have Bonnie Boo in the air. Bonnie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Trust me, it's our pleasure. We're so excited to have you on the air. We're curious about the burlesque world. We were curious about the burlesque world, and so we went out and we saw the show.
Mm-hmm.
I approached you immediately after the event and invited you on the air, and that was all going to work out. And then just every month there was something up that it didn't work out for one of the two of us. And
I
so
know.
We finally, you made the trip all the way up here from Waterford.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are on the air. It's a dream come true. It's Bonnie Boo here in the studio, live on Unfixed. Anybody out there in the listening audience wants to say anything to our guest, just send us a tweet at Unfixed Radio, and we will definitely get your thoughts on the air. You can be anonymous, it doesn't matter. Shout outs, squeals of delight. You send your messages in, and we'll
reveal yourself totally.
See
what you want.
Exactly. All right. I like where this is headed immediately.
Yeah. I have a feeling this is going to be a good one, especially when you give me pizza and wine on arrival.
All right. So, Bonnie, you're a burlesque performer.
Yes, I am.
Amongst other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe yourself if you had to describe your professional world, this aspect of your life?
I would describe it as... See, burlesque is one of the main things I'm doing. However, I'm a dancer by trade.
Okay.
So that's my main thing.
Right.
And, you know, with burlesque, you don't have to be a dancer. It's, you know,
no?
You can be... No, because it brings in many different things.
Don't you have to at least master the technique where you can make the tassel spin in clockwise? I know that's what I've been working on.
That's how every act ends in burlesque.
Don't worry, I brought tassels for you, Adam.
Oh, wait. Oh, Jesus. This is getting X-rated. All right. So you define yourself, you just call yourself a dancer.
Yeah.
That's your profession.
Yeah, dancer. I would say performer in general because, well, burlesque is a performance of all. And you can be, it could be more dancey, it could be more acting, it could be more comedic and cabaret. So I would say a performer rather than a burlesque. Especially because I like to bring the belly dancing in, like to bring a bit of Wu-Tang, hip-hop in, you know.
Hip-hop fusion, you've got Eastern, Middle Eastern influences.
Yeah, well, like Wu-Tang, you have the two different identities. You've got your burlesque, mm-hmm. which is like the Wu-Tang, but you're also a dancer, and you have another album as a dancer.
Yes.
You're talking about solo projects?
Yeah. Like Bobby Digital.
Bobby Digital, and, that's what we're referring to. Yeah.
So, Sinead's Bobby Digital.
Right, yes. Right, indeed. Yeah, okay. So, you know, we're talking just a bit about burlesque. And you tried to kind of just give it a bit of a synopsis. So there's some comedy. There's some, dancing? There's often, most often dancing. There's kind of a striptease element.
Yeah, there's a striptease element. However, it doesn't mean that you have to...
You don't have to take your clothes off to have a good time. Oh, no.
But when you do, it's a great time.
Right. What would burlesque be without, you know...
Non-mandatory pasties.
Without thighs. it just wouldn't be the same thing. But sure, yeah.
But, it has all elements. So, there's different types of burlesque, and that's like the umbrella, and you have like gorelesque, which is the more darker side.
Holy god, I'm immediately
and a friend
interested.
Of mine used to do that, and there'd be blood involved,
real blood.
I don't have a lot of information, so I don't want to say the wrong things about that, but there's classic burlesque as well, so that's the DiGiovanti style, the 1920s.
No, explain that to me. Who's DiGiovanti? What's that?
Well, I say DiGiovanti's because that's a general thing that most people
know. DiGiovanti. Okay, Deborah. Gotcha. She was married to
the public
eye. That's kind of what people see, which is amazing.
Red lips, pale skin,
dark
hair, and
was on Eurovision a couple
years
back.
But obviously that's not all. You don't have to look
around
like
in a giant martini glass. I can dye my hair. So that classic, what do you know about it in terms of its origins? So this is I'm always picturing I don't know, what do they call these speakeasies, this kind of thing, that 1920s kind of style, and this is I don't know, pretty edgy performance. Back in its day, as far as you know, was it was it reserved for any kind of classes? Was it a lower class thing, or was it considered uncouth, or would would you rub elbows with the rich and famous while you're at these shows? Do you know anything about that?
I don't want to give it the wrong. I won't be fully knowing about that. However,
whatever you think, no fact checkers.
I think it's not. I know that it was more, they were definitely risky back then. I mean, they start, you know, it started years ago and we've just followed on, and the classic burlesque has stayed true to what it has been, hence why it's called classic. And it's the striptease and a lot more to it. And then obviously throughout the years, different things have happened and emerged.
Okay, right. You know? So, yeah.
And well, we can think about, like, you know, Moulin Rouge and the Can-Can.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff in France definitely is quite famous. And that became popular, I think, in you know, during the wars with the Americans going back and forth through France. And so they took that sort of, you know, sort of taste and thing back to, you know, music hall and that kind of sort of stage performance stuff in the States, I think it was. And then that's where the classic striptease comes from. The long gloves off and pasties. And I think it was, in fact, the G-string was invented.
The G-string
was invented for burlesque because you couldn't be naked, but you could almost be naked.
Really?
That's when you know the G-string is if you're dating someone like who would be in like a Wu-Tang or something like that, and then they cheat on you, then you feel the G-string. Sorry, I thought I'd workshop that.
The dick and G-string.
You were listening. I'm flattered. All right. So okay. Yeah. All right. So classic burlesque. That's that. You know, everything. Everyone can picture this. I guess, you know, corsets and thigh high stockings, high heels, long, you know, shoulder length or sorry, elbow length gloves that you peel off. This kind of very classic.
Real glamorous. Thing. Real.
Yeah.
The seam on the back of the stockings.
Oh yes, love seam the seam. Stocking. Gotta have the seam.
Yeah, you seem like you're into it.
Oh,
I'm on fire! Somebody cool me down.
Oh,
all right. So and so we went to the Miss Burlesque Ireland show back in. Thank you. We went to the Miss Burlesque Ireland show back in the Tivoli Theater in August, and there was kind of three segments. There was like the classic burlesque bit. Mm-hmm. And then there was like your own kind of whatever you wanted
neo
to do.
Burlesque.
That was the neo.
Unique is your own.
Unique is your own. That's the last one, the signature.
Yeah,
or
that was what burlesque is to you. What you know, what you could bring your own kind of unique skill or style into that.
Okay, right. Yeah.
No rules.
So there's all right. So classic neo. So that's like any kind of modern fusion. You can just throw in anything. And you threw in a hip-hop element, if I remember correctly, which I don't. But Chad told me that you did a hip-hop thing. No, I do remember. I do remember that. You had the Zimmer frame and you had a wig
on. Yeah, granny. Granny
Bonnie
Boo.
Came out as a hip-hop granny.
Stripper gran.
Stripper, hip-hop, Zimmer frame granny. Actually, could you enlighten? I remember you had an L plate. On the Zimmer frame. Was there any thinking behind that or just kind of look funny? Was it just comical?
I think it was because I was pretending the Zimmer frame was my vehicle.
Okay, that's as fast as you go, is it?
Yeah, and, you know, I suppose maybe it's like I'm a learner in life and then, you know, Granny Boo got down and dirty after she drank her sexy juice. And
oh, that's right.
She released
downed
her.
She bottle as like snake
yeah,
venom.
You know, so... Unleashed that vixen to everyone.
This narrative and dialogue, there's a lot of depth to these shows. It's
always hidden agendas in there.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. With if those who have eyes to see.
Layers of meaning. I do remember quite a bit of...
And the assholes.
Say that one more time, please.
Do you remember the assholes?
So I think I might be misunderstanding the word you're trying to pronounce, that I'm hearing a different word.
We were very noisy. Maybe we were the assholes.
I swear that's the word. I didn't think that's what you were saying.
No, assholes.
What's an asshole?
It's a tassel for your bum cheeks.
Oh, an asshole.
Yeah. No,
that should be a new slang.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a new slang word for me. Yeah.
Welcome to new slang. I can play E40 real quick. okay. All right. So that's the burlesque stuff that you do. Now, are you doing anything coming up in that world? Is that part of your professional life? Is there anything going on?
Yes. Quite a few things going on. I have a workshop in Dublin, actually.
When is that taking place?
On Sunday, the 5th of March.
You say workshop. I mean, what do you walk people through the basics? I mean, are you just like, is this for novices, entry level?
Of an all levels. So some people might find it a bit difficult and other people might find it a little bit easy, but everyone can kind of do it in general.
Okay.
But it's what I call, it's like a burlesque dance choreography. So
right.
It won't be the elements of... You know, there's so many elements of burlesque. It'll be just focusing on the choreography part of it.
Right.
So heel dancing and what you can put into your acts from that.
Heel dancing.
Dancing in heels.
Oh.
Sorry.
Anything heel in heels.
Yeah, anything in heels.
There's a lot of jargon. Apparently there's a lot. Can you speaking of new slang, can you tell us? Okay, so we've got assholes,
heel dancing.
Anything else? Can you just think of other terminology that only seems to come up in these circles that might be illuminating?
Oh, I've heard people... they call non-burlesque people muggles. From the Harry
and you guys are the special ones.
I don't know this. I've heard this and it makes me laugh. It's
what
good.
What do you think of boylesque? Please tell me what boylesque is for the audience. Because I think Grim Squeaker, we had Kitty LaRue, who you know, on the show in October. for the Halloween episode. And then we also had Grim Squeaker on, and he said he did a little bit of Boylesque, which I basically pictured, you know, him you know, writhing around and shaking little his itty bits. And I wasn't trying to buy tickets. Now he's a cool guy, but like, you know, that's not for me. not especially.
We saw him eat glass, I don't think that's Boylesque.
But he could put that into his Boylesque routine. Okay. You know, if it's something like that's unique for you. Yeah.
So what is it, Goylesque? There's gore Boylesque.
No, Boylesque is basically burlesque, but just males doing it. Okay. So again, you've got all the different categories, different styles.
Girls don't care when a guy takes off a glove, though.
No, but it's not just the striptease. It's the entertainment. It's the story. It's what they decide to narrative. Be the character, the narrative.
Sexy show. Yes.
Oh, look at you with your narrative. But Boylesque, I love it. I actually saw a show called Briefs. It's a Boylesque Australian show, and it was the best show I've ever seen.
In your life?
Honest to God, in
Bold
my life.
Bold statement.
Yeah.
Look that up.
Go Briefs.
Did you see it in Australia?
No, I saw it in Brighton with my mum.
Okay, that was nice and comfortable.
I think we're the only females in the audience, actually.
I see.
Ah, Brighton.
I'll give you a little example. There was a guy who was a dog on a lead, and the owner told him to shit on me, and the dog fake pooed on his face.
This
was a comedy section.
Okay, but it wasn't real. It wasn't real.
No, it was moose, like Aero moose or something. You know,
all right,
he was licking it.
Jesus,
but that doesn't mean but Boylesque is anything. I've seen Boylesque performers in Ireland. Jonathan Walsh would be one of them, and he's brilliant and so funny. He was at the Peacock Parlour there before Christmas, and the crowd went wild.
It's a matter of know your audience.
It is.
So,
it is.
Yeah. You know, what kind of venues would you recommend people go, like here in Dublin, to check out burlesque stuff? Because, like, you know, we knew about the Miss Burlesque Ireland show, but that was pretty prolific. It was easy to identify. Also, we were over there doing the pro wrestling thing, and that's we met this drag queen, and it all just spiraled from there.
Yeah,
it really did. And here we are today. What should people do to kind of like stay, you know, on top of this stuff? I understand there's something in Galway coming up.
Yeah, there's a Galway Burlesque Festival in 24th. It's the end of May. I think it's the 24th, 26th of May. But there's always shows going on at least one every month in Dublin between Bella Gogo's Dark Pearl shows in the Liquor Rooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to...
You've got Mr. Sketchies with Scarlett Nymph.
Mr. Sketchies,
as well.
Yeah. Oh, she does that.
That's around the world, isn't it, Mr. Sketchies?
It's over 100 places that do it, locations.
Okay, the Anti-Art School. And that's when burlesque performers come in and kind of strike a pose and you draw them.
Yeah.
The Galway Burlesque Festival is the 26th or 28th May.
That's it.
And you can look that right up on Facebook, as I just did.
Adam.
Yes, indeed. And they our friend of the show, Scarlett Nymph, is heavily involved in the Galway Burlesque Festival, which is pretty dope.
Mm.
Shout out to Scarlett.
She's out there.
East Coast.
She's out there doing her thing.
So you also do dancing. Is that like formal dancing? Is it?
No, my background is hip-hop dancing.
Okay.
Yeah, crews, you know, proper.
So
do you
sort of work at...
Yeah, they can't see my actions. I did a gangster pose.
So you go out and that's part of your work as well?
So I teach commercial hip-hop dance classes. So my main job is being a dance teacher. That's where the dollars come in.
Tells people how to dance battle.
We always
run something I understand called Dance Yourself Free down in Waterford. Is that right? And that, how often is that held?
Well, that was my first one was last year. I'm holding another one now this summer. But Dance Yourself Free is something that I always use as like my tagline because I would put that into my classes as well. Okay. So with my burlesque and my commercial hip hop.
I'm sure it's probably obvious, but like dance yourself free from what? The cares of the day, your own kind of the way you're holding yourself back?
Yeah, free from your own
self-limitation maybe.
Yeah, you know, the gremlins that hold you back from things and just dance yourself free, you know, just
the shackles of the
free from
shackles
heads of down, life. Slump shoulders, shuffle to work.
Yeah. You know, shake that ass, you know.
Okay.
You know, improves your
there
happiness.
There you go. So that's everything I've been missing. Damn it, I'm going to come down and
go
dance
on, do
myself.
It. Shake it.
I just like to point out, I mean, it just looks like a very inclusive group. So, that you know, just it's like come in and, anybody can do it.
Anyone can do it, yeah. Like, I invite and encourage all women of all ages and men to come to my classes. And it's what's great is because I have beginners and intermediate and anyone can do it. And to see people grow in themselves and just become better performers as well, pretty cool thing.
All right, and that's held in Waterford. And in Waterford, you also have these workshop classes. Mm-hmm. Do you run a weekly class or anything? Or
so I run weekly ones in Waterford, but my workshops are all around. So Dublin on the 5th of March, Cork on the 12th of March. All the events are on my Facebook page.
Okay. And how can people get in touch with you? Sorry, facebook.com/...
Yeah. Bonnie Boo.
/Bonnie Boo. That's mm-hmm. B-O-N-N-I-B-O-U-X.
The French Boo, not box.
Mm. The French Boo.
Have you had any prodigies? Like, I'm just thinking about these classes where you train someone and they just come up and it's like the whole, the student has become the master. You see them at the competitions, you're like, that's amazing.
It's happening. There's a few of my students that are really after growing in the past year, and I'm like hell yeah, I'm like looking at them, they're getting so good, and yeah, they're going to start properly this year. I'm going to get them together and push them out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're pusher. They're burlesque pimps.
Sweep the legs. Make your
don't take
assholes.
My job.
That's right. Don't get too good.
Right. I don't know what to say about all this. I'm just switch the interview over here to my colleague Toby Allen. Toby, where did that custom come from? You know, did you ever have a student that kind of, you know, just outshined you almost? I just want to know what, you know. How does it pop into your head? Is that kind of like a Luke Yoda thing, or?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was absolutely thinking of Darth Vader. And,
okay.
Anakin Skywalker.
I thought it smacked of Star Wars mythology. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. All right.
I have to burp.
But I was also thinking of
I think you're okay.
You know, the other elephant in the room, which is Bonnie. You're the showgirl of the year, and you're the first showgirl of the year.
Hell yeah.
Oh, right, because that's a new title that Miss Burlesque Ireland kind of brought in this year, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's always been in the Miss Burlesque Australia, so now it's part of the Miss Burlesque Ireland as well.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, because this is there was a bit of drama. We were there on the front line for this thing.
True, we were there. We were embedded in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We would have been tweeting about it, but I don't know what Twitter is.
I barely know.
I was DMing people. I was actually in touch with folks.
Oh wow! Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, we had all right. So the way this went down, just for the audience. Okay, so we went to the show, and you know, there's the performance, Miss Burlesque Ireland, in the Tivoli Theater, and it was a great thing, and everybody did fantastic. And sure, you were crowned Miss Burlesque Ireland.
Yes.
2016, sashed, crowned the whole thing. I think it was a crown. Was there a crown?
It was a crown. Yeah, there's a very shiny crown.
I don't remember a great deal. But so sure. and then, as it turns out, there was a missed tabulation, and mm-hmm. the votes were miscounted. And so then later that evening,
the next day,
you received a message from the person who runs the thing about how there was unfortunately a mistabulation of the votes. That that in fact somebody else would had the number one title, and you were Showgirl of the Year 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't have been super fun. You said that basically, you know, you didn't really have any negative affect about it, and it just, you know, it sucks and everything. But you know, mistakes happen, and
like
the person that got the most votes should ultimately.
Yeah, because it's just one of those things that it was out of my control, and you know, things happen.
Sure.
And
yes, sure,
you know, like obviously initially it's not what you want to hear, but at the end of the day it's not the end of the world, and
sure,
human error happens. And because I'm friends with the other two ladies, I didn't want to take away the shine off the competition and them, what they deserve to win.
Sure.
You know, so it was just one of those things that if you have a tantrum, you ain't going to get nowhere. Why bother? I always say to myself, what would present Sinead do and what would future Sinead want?
That's really
and
nice.
And I always say that to myself. Too. And I said that day, what does future Sinead want? And future Sinead wants that showgirl title because I like it, it sounds awesome. And future Sinead doesn't want to leave herself down or have a strop over a crown. So I was like, no, graciously, just back away,
definitely,
happy out. And I've had the best experience and the best year, and I love being called Miss Showgirl.
It's a cool
I even
title.
Have a showgirl like costume. Have you seen it? My mum made me this big carnival Brazilian style.
Nice.
Oh wait, okay, it's not the peacock feather one.
No,
it's not the one where you have the crown and the fur thing.
No,
okay,
I'll have
maybe
to show
I don't
you.
Know it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got to show
tweet,
you.
Tweet it on.
I'll tweet you that photo.
It's such a lovely outcome from the whole challenge of the situation that, you know, there's a new role now for everybody. There's more for everybody to have. And
yeah,
and in fact, this is this kind of historical, you know, misstep or hiccup that leads to more texture and more depth to the competition. You know, people may aim for showgirl rather than Miss Burlesque, or Miss Burlesque rather than showgirl.
Just
in the future,
aim to do well, and there's more chances. Everyone does well because getting to the final is great. But the opportunities that have come this year would have come in regardless of being first or third.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Because when you put yourself out there, and you know, I believe in the law of attraction. When you do good things and you work hard, they're going to come in. And so, you know, having the Miss Showgirl title, I was happy out.
Right.
You know?
It's a hell of an achievement.
Yeah.
And, we just ran through it because I think we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, just mention it for a moment. But, it didn't tarnish the, in my opinion, the fun of really what happened was that we went to the event and we saw all these amazing performers. Really mm-hmm. amazing. What's the name of the woman who was, I guess she was somewhere and she placed at least last year and she did a hula hoop thing. She had like 50 hula hoops going at once. And oh, I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Sheer Madness.
Yes, oh, yeah. Madness.
I saw her at Shakespeare's the other day.
Yeah,
she's
Miss Burlesque Dublin last year.
All right, okay,
so she's
right,
a judge
exactly.
doing like her performance.
Yeah, that was jaw-dropping. That was deadly. You want to YouTube something fun. Speaking of YouTube, there were some gentlemen and people that were filming for something over in the corner for the whole Miss Burlesque Ireland show.
Yeah, I want to see this.
Where the hell is that footage?
Seen it, actually. I don't
know.
I must ask them.
I can't find it.
Give us the footage.
Yeah. I need to see myself shimmy.
Oh, no, what am I saying? There is footage of our acts.
Right.
That's all on YouTube.
Oh, that's okay. All available, is
I
it?
I thought you meant someone like filming like behind the scenes.
No,
stuff.
No, right. Okay, the whole documentary.
Wait. Oh, no, you can Google
you can,
all
you can
the acts.
You basically watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you can watch all the acts. Yeah, yeah. Just
so,
YouTube
yeah.
it.
Get out there and everybody go ahead and Google that stuff. So Miss Burlesque Ireland in the Tivoli Theatre, which sadly is closing. Are you aware of that?
No.
They're shutting down the Tivoli.
Dick.
Yep, they're going to develop it into apartments or something.
Apart hotels. Yeah, they're going to tear that goddamn thing down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, District 8, the dance night, has shows booked into 2018. So it's not happening right now or anything like that.
Good.
But it's a hell of a venue in the country, and that'd be a shame to lose the whole thing. Save the Tivoli, ladies and gentlemen. Save the Tivoli. Send your donations to me.
Yeah, sure.
And me.
And I'll, yeah, sure. We'll just go out for drinks and talk about how it's important to save the Tivoli.
I think there's actually going to be a burlesque competition this year, so it could be in the Tivoli.
Okay. I thought you were going to recommend that one of us goes in.
You should.
It's ain't
good.
Happening.
I'm in the audience.
I'm mystified about what it means. What the hell is what is burlesque? And I'm going to do some research. I feel a little remiss in that I should have done a bit more kind of investigative reporting before having Bonnie Boo on the show.
I feel like I should have.
Maybe. I just always come, you know, without thinking about anything. So
me too.
I like the burlesque thing. I'm sure I've seen some stuff like that in fetish clubs before.
Definitely. There's nerdlesque as well.
Nerdlesque.
It's like all of the various different forms mm-hmm. of rock. Now it's in burlesque
form. It's in burlesque
as well.
Form, yeah.
You know, shoegaze-lesque, emo-lesque, metal-esque.
Yeah, a little bit lesque, please, Toby.
Sad-lesque. No, lesque. I want to see sad-lesque.
Sad-lesque, yeah, yeah, and melancholesque. So, okay. All right. So, yeah, anything else coming up or anything else that you think we should all become aware of?
I'm in Hamburg for the first Hamburg Ooh. International Burlesque Festival.
You can do worse. My wife is from close to Hamburg.
Yeah, we haven't chatted
right.
beforehand.
Northern
actually.
Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sure. And what's this event, please?
So it's the first festival. It's run by the Berlin Burlesque Festival. Myself and another Irish performer, Fifi LaRue. I'm telling this wrong.
Okay.
For Germany, it's just myself and Paul, Random Chief Chaos.
Random Chief him. Chaos.
Yeah, the two of us representing the island over in Hamburg.
Nice.
And then myself and Fifi LaRue are both competing for the Legend in the Making at the Hebden Bridge Burlesque Festival.
Right, okay.
In Leeds.
Okay.
And
so you're all over the place.
Yeah.
International burlesque scene.
Woo! And then the London Burlesque Festival in May as well.
Okay, wow, there's so much going on.
There's a lot going on.
I thought it was like, you know, Miss Burlesque Ireland. And then we're done and we have to wait till the next year. Speaking of next year, do you think you would compete in Miss Burlesque Ireland in the future, Bonnie Boo? Here on Unfixed, exclusive breaking news. Bonnie Boo, will you participate in Miss Burlesque Ireland in the future, do you think?
Not in a negative way. Yeah. It's just I don't feel that I'd want to come and place in already. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of work. And I'd advise
to
other people.
Shit. I mean, having seen your act, I mean...
Yeah.
You built a fucking like you
I
built
was a granny
you,
for weeks against like, character.
You were the Donald Trump of the event, and then you built a wall. there was a graffitied wall that you danced in front of.
I did. I took it from the Tivoli car park.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, yeah. I took it. Yeah.
You just grabbed that.
Yeah, grabbed it.
It looked pretty authentic. I thought it was
a wall scratching.
Sorry.
This is something that the Mr. Leathers were saying as well, that that you know, when you win it once, it's like, and if you were to compete again and not win,
it's
shame.
A massive, yeah, like it's just one of those things that I'd encourage my students wanted to do it, and a few of them were this year, but I don't know if it's going ahead this year because the Boylesque one is. I'm not too sure.
The Boylesque tends to eclipse things, you know? It's just like you're trying to hold an event and then there's a Boylesque thing that's opening up next door and you're like, shit, I was just trying to sell my, you know, dumplings and now the Burlesque.
You can have dumplings and watch that at the same time. I love dumplings.
I like
they have their own dumplings, like Burlesque dumplings, Boylesque dumplings.
Bumplings.
Yeah,
I love a good bump.
Little basils. Anyway, Ken, I just have a quick question for you on the basils. I'm obsessed with this idea.
Yeah, go on.
So these are little tassels you put on your ass. Now, yeah, the thing,
not little, depends the size of your ass.
Okay, so that's what I was basically going to ask. So the idea of a tassel, I guess, is if you hide the nipple, you are hiding obscenity or nudity or something.
Ooh, God forbid I ever show a nipple.
I know. Sometimes you see some wrist or something. Right, so when you put it on the ass, how big does it have to be and what are you actually working to cover?
Well, see, I don't want to cover my ass. So I just...
That's a good thing to do in like the professional realm, though. You know, always cover your ass.
I like
Bonnie,
to get it out. Oh, yeah, I like other people to cover my ass when things go wrong.
Yes.
I don't think that needed to be.
Turn to the nearest person, cover my ass.
Cover my ass.
Indeed. So these things are basically like adult diapies with tassels. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it could be small or big. Mine are kind of medium star shaped with a tassel at the end. So when I twerk and shake my ass, because I like to shake my ass, they move.
I do too. Not a lot of people get hypnotic to witness that kind of thing. Mm. Right. Can you make them, you know, can you make one go clockwise and the other one counterclockwise?
I can move one butt cheek.
You're about to stand up. Like, I don't mean right now.
I was actually about to stand up and show you, and I forgot I'm on the radio. Yeah,
wild.
Next time on Fix, coming to you with Vision.
Girls gone wild.
Question coming in from the listening audience, Bonnie.
Yes.
So your favorite performance ever. Who did you see? You already said that, you know, these the Australian guys.
Yes, they were.
Maybe I'm, you know, kind of railroading this question that a listener has sent in, but... I guess more in the kind of traditional burlesque, like, you know, the Dita Von Teese style of burlesque performance.
Ooh, yes.
Who would you say is the best you've seen with your own eyes?
With my own eyes, so not on YouTube or anything. Irish people.
Would it be? I mean, have you not?
If that's what we're doing?
I mean, you've seen in person. Doesn't matter if they're from Ireland or...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. I have to think now.
Toby, do you want to go for a walk?
Yeah, well, I have the. I love Scarlett Van Tassel's classic burlesque in Ireland. She's like the epiphany of like bumps and grinds. She's got real
Scarlett Van Tassel,
good attitude. Yeah, Santina Spitfire too. She's really good at classic burlesque. Yeah.
And she had the martini glass.
Yes,
that was her.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, I really like them. If I was to pick people in Ireland for classic burlesque, that I've seen with my own eyes because I've not seen many international. I will now in Germany and stuff. I'll come back to you a little more.
Sorry, the performer who was in the martini glass, her name again, please?
Santina Spitfire.
She's all over the place. She's on RTE stuff, mm-hmm. is she not?
She does the midday.
The
is it the midday?
I don't know.
What it's called?
The midday burlesque? I don't know.
No, the chat panel on TV3, on a Friday. She's like one of the ladies, like Loose Women Irish version.
Okay.
What?
Loose Women.
You know Loose Women?
No.
I don't know anything. I'm
Toby's Toby. Like, Toby's getting shy. I've never seen him withdraw upon himself.
Are you shy, Toby?
You're making Toby blush.
Oh,
I should know more about Irish popular culture, but I know like literally zero. I've been so many years here and... No, I don't know anything.
you thought you knew something?
Yeah, but it was politics,
Father Ted's
so that
English.
Wasn't very interesting.
Father Ted's English.
Yeah, I love Father Ted.
I even know some Father Ted, but that doesn't help with knowing about TV3 midday shows.
Right. Yeah, what is it called? Today FM? Or not? The AM something? The AM show?
Today,
and they have people
AM.
Come out wearing
mm-hmm.
clothes from Penny's, and they're like, look at this girl. And everyone's like, no. Send her back. She's ruining your life. She doesn't understand.
She's not ready yet.
They're making fun of you, sweetie. You don't understand. Yeah, all right. We got another question coming in from the listening audience. And apparently these people are into the other segments because they want to know what is your favorite slang word across the board. You say you're a hip-hop girl.
Ooh.
You know, maybe dip into that kind of, you know, realm of knowledge.
What's my favorite slang word?
Yeah, what's the word? Dicking is good. I'm just trying to just throw it out
dicking,
there again.
I was
keep
just
it, try, you know,
yeah.
Repeat it.
Like fetching
I encourage you to use the term dicking in the next week.
Okay.
In one of your dance classes. This is a dicking little move that I learned and picked up.
Here's our dicking routine. I hope you dick and enjoy it, dicks.
Aw.
No.
No, please, no, just don't yell at them.
Okay, sorry.
Just tone it down.
This is our dicking routine.
This is our dicking routine, everybody. You're doing great.
Watch me,
Big difference. So watch your tone. So okay,
it's all about the tone.
Anything that a slang word that you like?
Shite.
Well, that's
that'll do.
Would that do?
It came pretty naturally.
Fudge.
Yeah. We got one more. Apparently, people are talking about all sorts of segments, and we've got one question coming in. Do you mix shampoos, or do you also think that that's weird?
Just don't wash my hair often.
Really?
No.
So does it like smell like?
That's why I'm wearing a hat right now.
Okay. It's just an oily mess in there.
I've never mixed. Actually, I tell a lie.
You have? You mix shampoos.
The only reason
time.
I've mixed
live
this
on
is gross.
Unfixed. Breaking
ready?
News: Bonnie it's Boo mixes gross. Shampoos.
Only because I put on like this special shampoo for like this dandruff, to treat my scalp, and then I'll put on the nice smelly one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that? I shouldn't be admitting that.
No,
really.
That's fine. Medicate, and then perfume.
I put medicated and then perfume.
Sure,
it's like otherwise it smells like knit lotion.
Smearing Vicks vapor rub or like a menthol eucalyptus thing on your chest, and then you cover yourself with perfume that you bought.
Cocoa butter.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds. It's therapeutic and it smells pretty decent.
That's so dick and lovely.
It is a dick and nice thing.
I was thinking, so you're wearing two shampoos, and this is a bit sort of weird, and in the end, I feel so dirty after wearing two shampoos.
Ooh, but,
no, I think probably that's wrong.
Two-timing.
You're probably a bit clean after wearing two shampoos.
I think, actually, Bonnie and Ned, so I could have, like...
Yeah, what is this Ned? Sorry to derail what you were just talking about, but what is Ned? So is that part of your, is that your last name or something? Where is this Ned Lee? What is this Ned?
Ned is a...
Sorry for everybody out there. Apparently, like we were talking via email, and you're like, you can call me Bonnie, Sinead, or Ned. And your Twitter handle, I believe, is Nedley Gold or something. And
Gold
I don't,
is my surname.
Okay. So yeah, what is Ned? What is Nedley? Ned, is it like Nedley? Like Nedley?
Nedley. Ned is derivative from Sinead. So
okay.
Sinead. So Nade.
Okay.
And then actually my friend Gillian, who's from Italy, and she's a really thick accent, would go, Nade. And it sounded like Ned.
Okay, it turned into Ned.
And years ago then, it just stuck with me, Ned.
It's good. Yeah. I think it's a nice nickname.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can do a lot worse.
It confuses people when I really like just actually introduce myself as Ned because I think it's my given name and they kind of check me up and down.
Right, okay. So, yeah, well, one more question coming in from the listening audience. Also, we're getting scolded for swearing too much and saying dicking things like that.
Jesus Christ.
So, one last question coming in from the audience. If you had to mix two burlesque performers, now you can take that to mean whatever it means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it take the best of both of their styles and mean like put it into one fantasy person? Or does that mean mix them like, you know,
like that movie
in a martini
like the
glass,
the Parent Trap or something? Who comes to mind that you would like to engage in and make one super burlesque performer?
Oh, I'm under pressure now.
Yeah, that's a deep tough question.
One. Can I? I'm going to include myself.
Okay, you and
I'm going to mix myself. With TikTok. Shit.
Boris Johnson?
Yes. Donald Trump. Come back to me.
All right.
Wait, so,
yeah, you tweet that at the show later whenever you figure out
can
who
I
you want
notes?
To merge with, Sinead. So,
like
sorry,
a butterfly.
Bonnie, who would you like to merge with in this bizarre fantasy question coming in from our listening audience with apparently very odd ideas of what's possible?
Yeah.
Who would you like to flesh merge with? I didn't come up with that. That came out of nowhere. That came from a listener, and I will scold them later.
I want to find out who that listener is.
All right, Toby. All right. Anything else? Anything else for our wonderful, dynamic, and breathtaking guest here, Bonnie Boo?
Check you out.
I don't know. I think we definitely need to ask her to come back next year.
Yeah.
In another 6 months.
Yeah. Let's do this periodically.
Yeah. Okay. So all right. I think that might basically wind down the end of the traditional interview. But I wondered if maybe you would. You and I could take a walk down this crooked, misty path in the dark forest to what we call the pet cemetery.
Ooh!
So hold on, no. There's a whole goddamn regala surrounding it. You just buckle up.
Yeah, there's a procession of midgets, the blow trumpets, and
so we're gonna
a graveyard.
It's misty. It's Stephen King, and we're walking down. We're walking down towards the pet cemetery, and we're going to see if we can visit it. And apparently, this is an aquatic tale. And we're going to check that out. And all right, well here we go, heading towards Pet Cemetery here on Unfixed with Bonnie Boo.
I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't want to live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
So this one time when Bonnie was a young girl, She had... I'm going to tell you two stories because two of them just feel really close to my heart. Okay.
I had a double grave, Toby.
Double grave. Triple grave because, yeah, but I'll get into that. So I had a pet goldfish. And, you know, when you see your pet goldfish in the bowl and it's like on its side and you think it's just trying to be wave at you, but really it's on its, you know, it's, yeah, it's really sad. Actually, you're not being sarcastic. Like, I'm a big animal lover. It's really sad. But I had this like really sad moment, and then my dad actually like gave the goldfish like mouth to mouth for me to try and save it. Papa Joe, you rock. And unfortunately, the next day the fish lost its battle and is now in heaven.
Lost its batter. Great flush in the sky.
I don't agree with actually getting goldfish now, because you know they should be free, even though they're not naturally wild, or maybe they are caught. Or anyway, I had two rabbits that called Bono and Dolores. They're my brother and I's, and they're buried in my back garden. They froze, and I thought they were doing like stiff statues because there was music playing that morning on the radio, but it was the cold. They did have a hot. They're outdoor rabbits, but it was really sad. It's actually genuinely really, really sad. So I'm going to play this trumpet for them just as a tribute. Is that okay? This is for you, okay. Rabbits and Goldie.
What were their names, sorry?
Bono and Dolores and Goldfish.
Which one was the U2 fan? You or the
brother? I didn't even know who they were at the time. My mother named them that.
Hey, Bonnie Boo, visiting the Pet Sematary, brave girl. Look, just to make it clear,
grave girl.
Grave girl. We are all animal lovers. I love animals. Did you meet Maggie the cat?
No.
The station cat. She was out. She should be. She's probably sleeping because that's what cats do.
I'll find her.
Yeah, we are deep loving of all animals.
Yes.
The idea is that we walk down, we visit the grave, and then it's healing, Toby.
It is
absolutely. It's a movie. The first time you really experience death is probably with a pet when you're a child, and
many times. Sure.
You've just made me bring up old emotions I need to deal with.
Okay. Your eyes are a little crazy right now. How are you?
That's the wine. And the pineapple and the pizza.
All right.
Thank you.
That was a hell of a pet cemetery. Dual graves, Toby. Side by side pet cemeteries. We got mouth-to-mouth resuscitation attempts with the goldfish and bunnies.
Together.
How do bunnies freeze to death? They're covered in fur and that's their job. They sit outside and they bunny out.
Oh, maybe.
I have in my head them just sort of, you know, hopping and jumping into the air, but then being frozen midair.
Yeah, okay. Landing like a solid block and sliding.
No, just hovering somehow.
I could be wrong. Yes,
that cold.
That's when you pause something. That's not cold freezing.
That's Super Mario.
Right. There's two kinds of freezing.
I could be really wrong, actually. It could have been just rigor mortis. It might not have frozen from the
That's
cold.
Also true.
It could have just died.
Yeah. It could have died from something
just
else.
Just realized that.
Strangulation.
Yeah.
Asphyxiation, poisoning. Yeah,
yeah. This just in.
What are you trying
Maybe
to say?
Not frozen.
What are you trying to say?
People poison bunnies. They do.
Bunnies?
Strychnine.
Wow, this has been pun heavy.
This is very funny.
All right. Okay, so I think we're going to wrap it on up.
Thank you
so much for coming out.
Thank you.
And we're going to do a couple more segments, and then we're going to finish it up. So are you going to hang out for a little bit, or is this farewell? You want to hang out in the green room for another, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes perhaps?
Your green room is peach.
It is. It's actually like skin tone. It's really off-putting, isn't it?
I'll hang out.
It's vile.
Say a proper goodbye and hug you without all equipment.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I can't thank you enough. It's been half a year in the making.
Hey,
the interview. Yeah,
was it worth it? Nah.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, let's just call a spade a spade. Was it worth the drive? To talk to these jokers over at the abandoned bar? I'm not sure.
To talk about my goldfish,
Exactly.
Roll of the dice.
Awesome.
Thank you.
A hell of an experience. Bonnie Boo, she is Miss Burlesque Ireland's Showgirl of the Year 2016-2017. You can find her on Facebook. That's really the best way to get the latest Bonnie Boo breaking news, is it?
Yeah, I have
Instagram is pretty lit. And what is your...
My website, I just have to adjust a few things. It's there.
Don't go for a few days. But when you,
don't
when you get
go.
After she gets her shit together, yeah. where should people visit?
BonnieBoo.com.
BonnieBoo.com. B-O-U-X.
Ooh.
You registered that domain straight up.
That's illegal.
Yeah. So, okay, listen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We are going to...
Yeah,
dance your way out.
I got on stage before with Wu-Tang Clan. Sorry to tell you that.
You got on stage with the actual Wu-Tang Clan?
The actual Wu-Tang Clan. I have selfies with them.
Wow.
That's the best thing I've heard this whole interview.
Yeah. I pretended to be a backup dancer to the security outside, and it worked. And I got on, and I got shown off because I was so drunk at the end.
That is so
awesome. Because I kept inching towards them.
That is so punk rock.
I just wanted to, like, do the arm.
Of course you do.
Yeah, it was great.
Amazeballs.
Yeah. I'm a backup dancer. Look.
I'm going to find that photo and I'm going to post it to you.
Please do. Tweet it at Unfixed Radio. Yeah, yeah. And Ghostface Killah is actually fantastic. Probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. After meth. Who doesn't love meth?
Meth.
And dirty. Big ups. Meth man.
Oh, meth. I didn't mean meth. Okay.
Okay, Bonnie Boo. Dance yourself to the green room and we'll see you. We'll see you in a little while.
Okay? Dance yourself free.
Right.
Bye. Bye. But it seemed like a mark. Now I'm choking, smoking, hoping I don't croak in from overdosing. Hey, kid. When the map got you open, let's ride. Can't stand niggas that floss too much. Can't stand Bentleys, they cost too much. Can't want to get up, then can't get touched. Can't want to stick up, then can't get stuck. I'm the one that caused you bluff when your boy try to act tough. Remember what old Dirty said, I'll fuck your ass up. Now listen, back and forth. Now we got a couple things to do. We have to, what do we got to do? We got to go for a walk.
Yeah,
we got to talk to Andrea for 90 seconds, and then we'll do the scary news, and then we will wrap it up. So let us, how about like a call Andrea?
Yeah, let's see what she has to say. She's been hanging on the line for like 90 minutes now, so
or
she's
due
in 90
walk,
seconds.
Toby, or we could go for a walk.
Well, that'd be a slap in the chaps as well, so
let's
don't know.
Do that. Let's do that to change it up, because we just had a conversation with somebody, and Andrea is kind of a conversation. So yeah, let's do the going for a walk segment, right? And so we went out to the... Hey, I just wanted to check in with you know Dr. Tobias Fumke from Arrested Development.
Ooh, the never nude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was trying to get closer to his daughter, maybe, right, in the show. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to piss off her activist mother, who is anti-leather and vegan and all this stuff, right? So she started dressing up in leather. And Tobias was trying to get with her to nurture a relationship. And so he also got some leather. Anyway, here's a really quick clip of that.
My purse overfloweth, as do my high spirits, so a shopping we must go.
Dad, we already went. That's why we're wearing all this leather. I'm really into leather. Tell Mom.
Yes.
So, Tobias chose to pursue a common interest with his daughter.
Oh, I hope so. I'm looking for something that says, Dad likes leather.
Something that says, Leather Daddy?
Oh, is there such a thing?
So off he went to buy his leather daddy apparel. So we did go for a walk, and we hung out with the guys at Mr. Leather Island scene at the warm up, and yeah, we got to talk to them. We also talked to the Mr. Rubber, Mr. Geared. We talked to Kevin Murphy. He was Mr. Leather Island 2015, and sure, we talked to a lot of people, but I edited it down to something a bit more consumable. This is when this is like going for a walk. This is when we take the show out of the studio, onto the street. We take the show to the people.
We put our money where our mouth is.
We do. And we headed out there, and we went for a walk. And I'm excited to share that with everybody. So let us go for a walk, and let's do it. Let's do it right now. What's that, Greg?
I'm going for a walk.
We're here at the warm-up for the Leather Pride Dublin weekend. And we're up here in Neelands. Tell me, what's your take on it so far?
Well, you know, there's a big event coming up soon, and Mr. Ireland 2016 is about to be replaced by Mr. Ireland 2017. It's a way of feeling out the sort of the competition here.
A little bit. And I was talking to Mr. Rubber 2016, and he's a little melancholic. Like, he's a little upset that he's going to have to give up the sash.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I just called him Mr. Island, not Mr. Leather Island.
Whatever, I think it's fine. So, Mr. Rubber 2016, you're kind of like thinking about the fact that this is your last night as the reigning champion.
Mm.
And so, tomorrow they'll crown a new king, right?
Yeah, I was telling people earlier, it felt a bit like I was dying. I was telling them it's my last day and stuff. But
yeah, totally.
But,
are you all right?
No, I'm okay. And I think I'm still recognizable as well. I think I'd know Sash on earlier, and everyone was like, oh, this right. No, I'm Mr. Rubber. I've had my year off it, so...
It's not so you're not going to lose your fame?
It's not going to be forgotten. I have my year, Mr. Rubber. It's all done.
So. What was your favorite moment of being Mr. Rubber Ireland 2016?
across the board. Any of the Pride events I've been at. So I've done Munich, I've done Amsterdam, I've done Dublin. Dublin was probably the best. You know,
Dublin Pride.
Dublin Pride, because it's my home.
It's absolutely a party. It's such a carnival atmosphere, actually, is what we have here in Dublin.
Circus.
It is. People go crazy. They let themselves...
But we're not clowns, like, you know. We're here to represent.
Who went there?
Well, you said circus, so...
What about Ringmaster?
Being a gay man, previously, I might have got bad reactions. But in my year of a fetish man, I'm being very open about, I've not got one bad reaction.
Right.
And I've been waiting for that.
I've been waiting,
and I've never
had. Dude, you've got a solid 16 hours. It's not over yet.
Well, I could. Someone could throw a drink in my face, but I'm wearing rubber and it's waterproof, so that's okay.
I mean, we're acknowledging that, you know, being homosexual is kind of a sub/counterculture for starters. And then also to be in kind of involved in a scene under that is a subculture, which is, you know...
Well, we are underground. We are practically underground because the gay even community don't see us as a community in ourselves. Only now, I think since marriage equality, everybody's saying, like, the different diversions in the gay community as such, to recognise the fetish side of it is slowly being recognised. Even through media and things like that, they don't... Whereas with the help of yourselves, like, you know, sharing our experience amongst everybody around the world is great, you know?
Sort of fractal. The deeper you look, the more you see the texture. Yeah. So you're a subculture or a sub-subculture. Are any of you sub-sub-subs?
A sub-sub-sub?
Ooh.
You want us to go?
Oh my gosh.
How do you describe this?
Yeah. So submissive. Thanks so much for your time, guys.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, we're here with Kevin Murphy. He was Mr. Leather Ireland 2015. Tubby, are you in awe of Mr. Leather Ireland 2015?
I'm in awe of Mr. Leather Ireland, but I believe there's another title he held as well.
He was the first runner-up for Mr. Leather Europe, isn't that right?
I'm going to find my husband somewhere. Yes.
Runner-up.
Of international Mr. Leather.
Global Mr. Leather.
Global, yes.
And the first runner-up. Do you think you'll try again?
No, I think when you compete in something like international Mr. Leather, it is a... a one-time, lifetime experience. So I think I got so much out of the first time, that time competing, I couldn't consider competing again, even though it was so enjoyable.
We've been talking a lot about this tonight, but this is a sort of time of overturn and a time of churn. So, you know, from experience, do you have any advice for Kyle about becoming, you know, the ex Mr. Leather Ireland? Or?
I'm really excited, actually, for Carl. He's had a phenomenal year. He's done a lot of really good things, and he's done a lot of kind of outreach and connected with so many people and brought people in within the community together. It's been great to see, and great to, I suppose, be able to watch him do that from the background as well. The one thing I like about Carl is that he's always been there, even before he got the title. He's done work in the community here, so I know he's not going anywhere, which is great. And I think he's going to enjoy seeing the next generation, almost his Sash son, take it over.
Kevin, what was if you had the most fun you had as Mr. Leather Ireland 2015, does one memory stick out the most?
I do have to say the pinnacle for me was proposing to my husband.
All right, yeah.
So, I mean, but that,
did you wear the sash while you're proposing?
I did it on stage.
What? Where?
At International Mr.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Holy shit.
So I in front of 1,500 people. I embarrassed him because I dragged him up on stage as well, and he doesn't like the limelight. So it was really
super sweet. Yeah. I think it's great.
The other thing, I suppose, a part of that in terms of community-based stuff that really stuck out for me towards the end of the year was to see how far our community in Ireland just kind of grew within the short space of time of the year that I was there, and even this weekend to see how it's almost doubled in size just in the last year. And this is the first kind of formal Leather Pride Dublin as well, so it's the start of something really, really great. And it's, that explosion is always going to stick with all of us that have been involved for the last while.
Toby has got to get home to his girlfriend Pierre.
Has he been partying? He's been partying a bit too hard, has he? He's been partying a bit too hard.
I'm going for a walk.
I love it.
I haven't been accused of that for a long time.
It's so fun.
Ah, dude, you guys, yeah. Seriously, if you're out there and you're you like to expose yourself to stuff that just you're not used to or whatever, those are some fun people.
Yeah, some cool guys.
They really are. It's really a welcoming environment. Hey, there's this one thing that happened while we were doing when I was doing the interview.
Oh, this drive-by guy.
This one guy walks by and mumbles something, and I played it back and I was trying to listen. So I've actually isolated this little piece of the interview. Okay, so what I'd like you to focus on, you'll hear me speaking, and then you hear someone walk by and mumble something, and then we're back to Kevin. Okay, and here that is.
Mr. Leather, Europe, isn't that right?
I'm going to find my husband somewhere.
Did you hear that? So okay, the guy goes, "I got to find my husband somewhere." Okay, so we'll hear one more time of it, and I've enhanced the audio. Enhance. And so we can actually hear it better. I turned it way up. So it's a bit of an abrupt amplitude adjustment, but you can hear it super clear here.
Mr. Leather, Europe, isn't that right?
I'm going to find my husband somewhere.
So I don't know if he was looking for a husband or like, I've got to find my husband somewhere. So is he like looking for a husband or is he looking for his husband? I don't know. I've got to find, I think he would have said, I got to find a husband somewhere. If he was looking for a husband.
I think it was a specific husband.
He was looking for his husband.
Yeah.
Totally. It's just like in the middle of this interview, this guy comes by and this like, you know, this kind of gritty voice. I got to find my husband. I loved it. It was my favorite moment of editing all that stuff down. Yeah, we're going to keep it. We're going to keep it going here because we're fucking looking at good God. It's been an hour and 50 minutes here. So we are going to bring Andrea, and Andrea has been so patient waiting for us. And we're going to bring her in on the Skype, and she's going to do 90 seconds. So this is 90 seconds of Andrea Lorien just in a compact little tight little wiener package.
Like a 90-second package.
A 90-second package. It's a 90-second little firebomb of Andrea. And okay, and here goes nothing.
Hello?
Hey, Andrea, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am doing wicked. All right. Okay, thanks for calling in, and thanks for doing 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien, the segment when you give us 90 seconds of pure Andrea Lorien, just vibrance. I give you a topic, and you just go for it, right? Yeah, we communicated before the show, and we've agreed that the topic is going to be, what, party bullshit. Whenever you throw a party...
Bullshit.
Yeah, and the crap people pull, the shit you have to put up with whenever you throw a party, because you just threw a party and people pulled some shit, and you've got some things to say about that, right?
Yeah, I do.
All right, wicked. So I'm going to... I'm going to play you in, and we'll give you your 90 seconds, and all right, you just give it to us. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Super. Okay, and... Okay.
So I just threw this party on Saturday for my roommate because it was her birthday. She turned 35, not that like age matters, but just saying like she turned 35, and she had thrown me a surprise party in the summer, and it was like I had no idea what was happening, and I came home and my best friend took me up for dinner, and I come home and like all my friends were here. There were like 15 people in the house. There were all this food, there were all this booze, and all this drink, and it was like magical, but I didn't know it was happening. So like she threw me a surprise party, so like I want to like return the favor, and she said for her birthday she wanted to go dancing, so like she mentioned it to another friend of ours, and our one friend Ryan, he like made this giant playlist like of all these 80s and 90s songs so like we could have a dance party at our house. So like we're gonna have this party, okay? But then like my roommate and I, we got in a fight, which happens, you know, sometimes. But she was like kind of like, I don't know if I want to have this party anymore, and I'm like, what? We gotta have this party, like we told people, and I was kind of like not sure if the party was gonna happen. And then like a week ago I was like, are we still doing this party? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like I was stressing because I'm not very good at like planning things. Like it happens, it comes together, but like it's not like my forte. Like I like to go to a party, I'm not always best at throwing a party. But so on Saturday my friend Becca was like, I'll give you a ride. So like Becca and I went to the liquor store, I bought some liquor, I bought tequila, I bought mixers, and then we went to Target, I bought decorations, I bought all this cute stuff, and I was stressed, so I stress bought a bunch of makeup, and some of it was really nice. Like let me tell you, these, I got this lipstick, it's from Wet n Wild, and it's called Liquid Catsuit, which is a ridiculous name, but it's beautiful. I love it so much. I'll send you a photo. Anyway, so then we go to Giant Eagle, which is a grocery store here in Pennsylvania, and we like bought all these food. I bought like over $100 worth of snacks, like I bought a ton of food. Oh, we went to the beer distributor. How can I forget? We went to the beer distributor. We don't have that
time for 90 seconds, not a second more. Thank you, Andrea.
My favorite correspondent on this show that I don't give a shit about.
Oh, hey, no, we love Andrea.
I love it. I love the story had a happy ending, but sometimes I wonder where it's going.
I don't think she got to the party, did she? We were supposed to be talking about, party stuff and, like, the crap that happens at parties and the crap you have to deal with in throwing parties. And I guess we'd just gotten to the liquor store there when her 90 seconds ran out. So that's it. When you're done, your time is up. Okay, so yeah, thank you so much for hanging in there with us here towards the end of this pretty damned long Unfixed.
It always gets so, when we have guests we're all excited about, it goes real long.
It can. Who went the longest? I think Peter Farrell, Justin Shape. That was a long, long interview. Killian Meehan of Medieval Combat Ireland.
And
that
let's not
one.
Forget the lost episode.
Oh, the lost episode of Conan Wynn of Contour. That one is actually it's fallen into mythology. I'm scared people are actually not going to believe it's a real thing. Guys, it's real. There was a lost episode out there.
It only existed live. For anyone who was listening out there, I salute you.
Like real radio. Holy shit. It actually only existed in this infernal state. Okay, so Toby, Jesus, I always get so...
We have one last thing, Adam.
We do. I'm always... It's like going to the dentist. I'm always like, fuck. Here, we're going to...
The scary dentist!
You say scary. So, all right. So, yeah, it is. We bring you news Unfixed. We keep you kind of updated about stuff, right? And sometimes we keep you updated only about the shit that kind of, you know, that keeps you up at night. What do they call it? Nightmare fodder. This kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like the stuff of nightmares.
That'll do.
The stuff that keeps you up. That
sounds good.
You're just trying to lie in bed and quietly drift off, but things get a bit weird. Things get a bit odd, and that's because you're listening to
The Scary News.
Nailed it.
We need Bonnie to do a little trumpet noise for it as well, I think.
I remember that. And she like knew the song, sort of. that is a Neutral Milk Hotel. The album Aeroplane Over the Sea is where that's from. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to distract myself away from the scary shit that's about to happen here on the scary news.
You've got the news there.
I do. Old cookie in Arizona.
What?
A very old cookie. An Arizona woman is holding on to an unusual family heirloom. An 85-year-old cookie. Given as a Valentine to her mother. Scottsdale, Arizona resident Penny Rickhoff said her family has been holding on to the heart-shaped cookie since 1930, when it was given to her mother by her first love. People back then, shoot, didn't have a lot of money, Rickhoff told KPHO-KTVK. So you bake a cookie, what else can you do, shoot? She said the cookie, which bears the name of her mother's boyfriend, Bus. So if you saw this thing, it basically looks like a stone-hard scone with the word bus written in icing. Bus. It stopped being appetizing. The cookie had stopped being appetizing long ago. It's as hard as a rock, Rickhoff had said. She wanted to keep it as one of them mementos, Rickhoff said of her mother. She said she plans to hold onto the cookie for as long as it holds together. It's a lucky cookie, as I say. What? You attribute every good thing that's happened in your life to the cookie?
I don't know. For the first half of this story, I thought cookie was referring to their grandmother.
Oh, no.
It's an actual cookie.
Keep it together. I know we've gone long today, but please keep it together, okay? It's a lucky cookie, she thinks. The cookie's vintage is impressive, but it is far from the oldest surviving dessert food. A Minnesota man held a party in 2011 to celebrate the 100th birthday of a Christmas cake an antique dealing friend had given him after receiving it from the attorney handling an estate sale. The cake was baked by Rose Garden Florist in Detroit in December of 1911. We're not going anywhere without the goddamn music.
So if you out there have any older cakes,
yeah,
please contact us at unfixed.com.
No, unfixed@mail.com or at unfixedradio on Twitter.
I don't know what I would say.
We go to the ever-reliable Deutschland for scary news. Police in Bavaria responded to a hit-and-run accident committed by a man driving a horse and cart. The Polizei say they were able to track down a man responsible for a hit-and-run by following the hoof prints and manure left by the horse pulling the carriage. Police in Grafenhallenfeld said the 78-year-old man scraped a car parked at the side of the road Tuesday as he trotted through the town near Schweinfurt, the DPA news agency reported. The man continued on without reporting the incident, but an eyewitness reported the incident to police. You know, Germans are always ratting on each other, man. Fucking East Germans and, ugh. Have you ever seen The Lives of Others?
No.
Yeah, they like to, bust each other. Like, whenever I'm in Germany and, like, I'm lighting off fireworks, because I can, because I will, like, Nina's like, no joke, the neighbors will call the cops on you. It's not bothering them, but... You're out of line, and they will call the cops.
Yeah, yeah. It's not your right to fire fireworks.
Police say the trail of hoof prints and manure left them to the suspect's stable, and he confessed to the accident when confronted. He folded like a bitch. He also made the argument that the horse is the one who is responsible. He was driving the cart.
I bet that cop was patting himself on the shoulder for that pickup.
That bust.
Like, I followed the footprints.
Yeah, in the shit trail, actually, in the manure. Mm. Manure is mostly.
That's how I knew it was a horse!
The Polizei did not agree with this defense, and the Altman is on the hook for about 2,000 euros in damage. One more scary news item, and then we will bid you dark night.
Goodbye.
So weak. A virgin birth, which is not scary. A virgin birth from a shark? Leonie, the zebra shark, used to have a mate at the Reef Aquarium in Townsville, Australia. The pair even had several litters of little sharks before they were separated in 2012. But Leonie had been living apart from males for the past few years, so her keepers were surprised when she laid eggs that produced 3 baby sharks in April 2016.
Is that a thing sharks do?
Leonie could, yeah, it's called parthenogenesis.
Ooh.
So they go from, you know, sexual, like I guess heterosexual, to asexual reproduction. It's called parthenogenesis.
Is that like Jurassic Park?
Yeah, there's like, oh, there's only a few things that can do it, and they're all terribly horrifying. It's like certain kinds of snakes, sharks, and like just things that bite you can do it. It's bizarre.
Ah.
Leonie had been living apart from males for the past few years. Oh, yeah, eggs. Yeah. It was surprising. She laid eggs that produced 3 baby sharks. Leonie could be the first shark ever observed to make the switch from sexual to asexual reproduction. We thought she could be storing sperm, as women sharks are known to do, and small little ampules underneath the rocks in her display cage. But when we tested the pups and the possible parent sharks using DNA fingerprinting, we found they only had cells from Leonie, said University of Queensland biologist Christine Dudgeon. Dudgeon plans to monitor Leonie's pups to find out if these asexually produced sharks can have pups of their own with a male partner. And she's going to watch the whole thing
on pay-per-view.
You know, with the scariest...
We got a German accent in the scary news now.
We had it. It blends. But look, the thing I want to kind of point out is that, you know, so you're in the ocean, right? And you're in a boat, and you look down, it's like, you know, and then there's a shark, like Old Man in the Sea style. And you look down, and there's a shark down there. And you're just like, I'm going to hold tight. And then if you wait just a little while, and you look down, now there's 5 sharks!
Just a little while.
That makes sharks so much worse, doesn't it? Like, there's a shark. It's like, well, if you don't fucking get on this problem, you're going to have 25 sharks in about half an hour.
It's a wonder we're not overwhelmed by sharks. Like, thousands of sharks just sort of, like, spewing out of the ocean.
Speak for yourself. Actually, my friend Jason Calhoun posted a picture on the web of people watching an outdoor, like, drive-in-style movie. And they watched Jaws in a bay in California on rafts and stuff like this.
If that's not inviting disaster, I don't know what
it is. I think it's certainly according to disaster. Like Bonnie Boo says, the law of attraction, shark week style. You guys don't have Shark Week here in Europe, and I feel you are bereft as a result.
But I'm aware of it. Like, okay. But like Black Friday, yes. Maybe it'll come here too.
Oh, it certainly already has come here. I would like to thank every single person that can hear the sound of my voice right now for listening to the show via live or via the podcast version. You want to hear old shows? You can check him out via any podcasting app, iTunes, Stitcher, you name it. Just search for Unfixed.
The internet.
Become a friend of the show. Subscribe, rate us on iTunes. If you can give us a review and a rating in iTunes, that is the number one thing you can do to help the show if you like the show at all. Or just send us a tweet. Let us know that we're not just yelling at the microphones for no good reason. That'd also be cool.
Yeah.
It happens. I like more of it. I like the feedback. Guys, thank you so much for checking it out. Thanks to Bonnie Boo. Thank you to Miss Burlesque Ireland organization. Thank you to the burlesque scene. Thanks to the leather dudes.
Yeah, this has been super swell.
All right. And the next time, the last show with Toby and I together. And then we're gonna be hiring a new co-host, I think. So if you think you got the chops, you send me a message at
unchecked@gmail.com. We should do it like a game show episode.
I'm thinking clip show, maybe even.
Maybe.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in post. We're going to go into the main room and hang out with the one and the only Bonnie Boo. And, we're going to keep it real.
Yeah.
We're going to dance ourselves free in T-10, 9.
Good night, y'all.